Recording in progress.
Well, this on oversight program for the period 23-25 November 2002. It's a proposal we are putting forward for consideration by this committee. And lastly, we deal with the meetings. So, so let me welcome all colleagues present in the meeting, and I also want to extend words of welcome to I see the minister on the platform. I don't see the minister as yet. Good morning, the minister.
Morning, honorable chair and honorable members. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. All right. From the defense section, let me say the DOD, the department. I don't know who's leading the department now, but we'll get that indication when the colleagues of the department arise to make the input.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members of the Personnel Committee. Good morning, Deputy Minister. I'm Dr. Hamede, and I'm leading the delegation. I'm with the acting CFO, who will handle item 3, and together with the Provost Marshal General, Admiral Maputo. We also have CELOC, Deputy CELOC, General Ndlovu, and the Chief of Staff, General Ramaswamy will join us later to deal with item 4. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me ask you to give us apologies if there are any on your side.
Chair, the is not well and is still in hospital.
Is in hospital. All right. And are you aware if the minister will be present in the meeting?
The minister is having connectivity challenges.
All right. So she's expected to be in the meeting. All right. No, it's fine. Colleagues, Brian, are there any apologies on your side or on the side of the committee?
Chair, I'm sorry if you can interrupt.
Yes, DM.
I am not sure, Chair, if I missed something, but the speaker who's just been on the platform now did not introduce herself to my right.
It's Dr. Kamete.
Oh, it's Dr. Kamete.
Yes, she did.
No, you have been not.
Thank you.
I missed that. Okay.
Okay. She's leading the delegation because the SecDef is hospitalized. All right. Okay. Brian, are there any apologies? Apologies from the committee side?
Yes, we have 3 apologies, Chair. The first being from Honorable General Olomisa, who is unable to attend. Honorable Lekwasi, she's attending the Section 194 committee. And Ngosi Qebekhulu, who is also attending the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration. I'm also advised, Chair, that the Chief SANDF will be joining the meeting later, he, as well as the incoming COS, are engaged in the inauguration of the recently promoted generals. So they will be joining the meeting later. Thank you, Chair.
No, no, it's fine, doctor. Thank you very much.
In person?
Yes, Mr. Murray.
My apologies. I just want to know that, you know, the chief of the SNDF will join later. What does that mean? Because we are now dealing with point three. And if he joins later, I mean, and this is a point on consequence management. So we already do not have, well, hopefully the minister will join, but from a structural point of view, the organigram, the accounting officer is not here, and her stand-in is here, but, you know, and now the chief of the ECDF, who's the other so-called accounting officer for the uniform side, is also not here. I understand if there are other commitments, but then they should have communicated that so that we can amend our program, because how can we deal with consequence management and the two responsible for that is not in the meeting.
Okay. Let me hear
what as well.
Yes, Dr. Pasogo, over to you, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry, as for the problem of network, I was able to show my video. My follow-up was the follow-up to the one said, I'm sorry if this was explained. I'm hearing here that there is an acting CFO. What is happening with this CFO? Can that be clarified? Thanks.
Yes. So there are two issues that Dr. Kabamende is expected to explain. One is that today's meeting deals with the consequence management, and that is in the domain of both the accounting officer and, to a certain extent, the chief of the South African Defence Force. And then by their delegation to the chiefs of services and divisions, and the two are not in the meeting to tackle this item or to respond to the questions or the comments of the colleagues. The question is, you know, you understood the question. That you are here as a standing, you probably were appointed a day or two, and the Bonzi is the chief director in the DOD. Are you assuring us that the matters that we are dealing with are so serious that we can deal with them in the absence of the two authorities? I think the question was along those lines. And then the second question is that even the CFO's position, they were told that someone is acting CFO, and we have not been told of what the situation in respect of the CFO is. And so, yes, in one meeting when you asked, but that was not the report to the committee with sufficient details to justify the appointment of an acting CFO. And for how long the acting CFO will remain acting in that position, And so those are the two matters, Dr. Kamede, you are expected to deal with. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. The inauguration of the recently promoted members started at 9, so we are hoping that the chief will log on immediately as soon as he's done with it. I don't think it's going to be long because we have three staff that are that have been promoted. So I'm hoping that he will be able to log on within an hour. But the second part about the CFO, Mr. Abosi is doing what he calls substantive acting, which means that he has all the delegation to form the CFO function. However, when it comes to whether or not we'll be able to answer the questions, it will be difficult for me to answer on behalf of the sector, the issues of consequence management. However, we can make a presentation, but we are leaving that to the chair and members of the committee to decide whether they want this to continue or not, Chair.
Okay. There's a follow-up, and after that follow-up, I will then give Mr. Mutha's hand, and Mr. Mare is also doing a follow-up.
Can I come in, Chair?
Yes, you can come in, so Dr. Dipaso.
Thank you very much, Chair. Perhaps, as we all know, that in this sixth administration, amongst other things, Chair, that were adopted, but it's no longer business as usual, yeah? Because there are things that are not going right within the power departments, and then that was adopted by this administration, that no more business as usual. Now, starting from the doctor that is here, the assumption that he is acting on behalf of the accounting officer. Do you have a letter to say this doctor today is acting? Because in terms of the legislation, we are supposed to have that letter so that he takes full responsibility for the department as an acting accounting officer. Second, I don't understand what she's saying about CFO. I didn't hear anything said. Because if the CFO, this CFO is acting, even then they're supposed to be a letter to say this person is acting CFO. So I am saying that can we be taken into confidence by the department, because the people that are here are going to respond to the questions, and at the same time, are they going to take full responsibility of what is going on? This is a portfolio committee. Thank you.
Yes, maybe let's dispose this one of first. Let's dispose of this one, the acting position. Tabo and Mr. Mare, let me take Tabo, but I will try to take one, conclude it, and then move to the second one so that we can then move forward. Tabo, over to you, sir.
Good morning, Chair, and members on the platform. I want to make a proposal so that at least we progress, Chair. I want to propose that we take the second item and request that those that are delegated to be interested in the meeting to ensure that all those that will be responsible for responding to questions, for an example, will be dealing with irregularities, irregular expenditures, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which fall within different arms of services. At least those who are at the helm of those arms must at least be present, if the chief, who must take the overall responsibility, is not in the meeting, so that they directly respond to questions relating to irregularities that happen within their jurisdiction. But as and when they do that, we can proceed with item number two, so that they put their house in order, and then we'll take that particular item after the second item. It's my proposal, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. All right, I hear you, Mr. Mutle, and let me recognize Mr. Mare.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, what Dr. Gomeri has responded is a major concern to me, because she's clearly said that there are certain things that she might not be able to respond to. Now, it's either everything or nothing. Because if she's only going to be a messenger to relay the questions, then you know, then we've got a problem. Because now we've got an agenda point on our program for this matter, and those must account are not here. So I've got a major problem. I don't know what the state of the illness of the sector is. It might be serious, it might be an emergency, it might be out of her control, I don't know. I can only work with what is in front of us, and in front of us is what Dr. Gomeri has said, and obviously we can also not expect from her to take responsibility for things that have happened that she has no control over, or where she cannot make commitments of what consequence management will be introduced, because she hasn't got that authority. And similarly with the CFO, I recall last, you know, where we were informed of on the CFO, he said, you know, there was still this lot of questions about the position of the CFO, and he will, and they have negotiated an exit package, an exit date, and things like that. And we had questions at that day, and those questions that we have posed at that day in Pretoria, we have not been responded back to. So we sit in a very much not an ideal situation, where the people that we must hold accountable for consequences, they are not here. So what will we achieve? You know, and that's my concern. If it's only relaying questions, then we can put the questions on paper and it can be sent to the two respective people.
All right.
It's not acceptable.
Okay. Dr. Kamete, you've listened to the comments of the colleagues. They are saying this is a parliamentary accountability mechanism, and it assumes that the people with the responsibility will appear before the committee to account on the exercise of their powers entrusted in them and the functions allocated to them. And both of them are not in the meeting. And there's a suggestion from Honorable Mutle that says, in view of that, that the areas we're discussing are strictly within the domain of the accounting authorities, accounting officer, and to an extent, the chief of the South African Defence, and with the and with their delegated authority to the chiefs of various services and divisions. So they are saying, man, look, maybe the issue must turn over until then. But there is also a question that Dr. Basobu raised that I wanted to deal with, that if an accounting officer, a director general, is going to be away, procedurally, the director general recommends someone who will act in his or her recommends to the minister, someone who is going to act in his or her position, and then the minister decides on the submission. And the same thing with the CFO. And I don't know, they're checking what is the procedure in the department in relation to acting appointments, especially at that senior level. DDGs, and maybe not DDGs, CFO, who is post level 16, and the accounting officer, who is also post level 16. Maybe you can also deal with that. And then, two, deal with the fact that there's a suggestion that we move to the next item, whether the chief who's responsible, who's going to present on that item, is in fact has arrived and is in a meeting to deal with the next item. Should we skip this item until the chief is back? Over to you, Doctor.
Thank you, Chair, again. I would agree with Honourable Moonstead that we can take the fourth item, which deals with Umlimfuku, because we do have Major General McHugh here, who is representing the Army, and this matter is within the Army domain. She will be able to handle all the questions. But as to the first item, that is consultant management and irregular expenditure, today I need to clear this first. I'm not the acting Secretary for Defense. I was requested this morning to lead the delegation because the Secretary for Defense could not be here. But in ordinarily, when the leave is planned, and the person is appointed as acting to act in that position, they are normally required to be briefed by the person they are acting for. So in this event, if this was planned, the person's vacation sick leave was planned, then she would have briefed me on all the issues that I needed to deal with while she is away. But that has not happened because I'm not acting, and maybe she wasn't aware that she would not be able to be here this morning. And yes, when you are acting, there must be a letter that is appointing you to act, and that letter normally will stipulate the conditions if there are any limitations to your acting, like you cannot deal with appointments, you cannot deal with the firing of people, you cannot sign maybe things that are over a certain amount of money. So when you are acting, there will be a formal letter, and that formal letter will stipulate very clearly what are your limitations or whether there are limitations in your acting.
Thank you. You have covered that point. Where would that letter be coming from at the level of a Director General? Would that letter be coming from the Director General who is going away on sick leave, or it will be from the Minister, of course, on the recommendation of the Director General, so that we know for the future?
Chair, first, the principle is that an official does not appoint someone to act in their position because it's the same position. So in the case of a DDG, the appointment will be, the appointment letter will be signed by the Minister of Defense, but obviously the recommendation would have been made by the Secretary for Defense, and the person who is supposed to act would have been approached, and they must accept the acting.
So that is in relation to a Director General. You've explained it the way I understand it. in relation to a CFO who is post-level 16, what is the situation when it comes to that? Who must actually, who has the authority to invite the CEO of the CFO to act?
In that position, the CFO reports to the DDG. Sorry, the DDG, which is the CFO, reports to the Secretary for Energy, Secretary for Defense, and therefore the Secretary for Defense is the one who will appoint the CFO. The CFO, although the CFO is paid at a level 16, but he is a level 15. So he still reports to the Secretary for Defense Chair.
Okay. So, no, thank you very much. In that case, the acting CFO has the letter appointing him to act in the position. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Chair.
Is the appointment until when?
The appointment is until the 31st of January, when the current CFO who's on special leave with me is in the
team. Okay. No, I wanted first to clear that out so that the committee is aware of the acting appointment procedures. Now, having dealt with that, can you still confirm that the chief is not back in the meeting, he has not joined the meeting, so it doesn't look like they've joined, have they?
No, Chair, they haven't joined. We've been trying to reach the chief. Unfortunately, I think they are still busy because they are not picking up. But we are ready to continue with the item on Umzimbuku because there are generals here who can deal with that matter. Thank you.
So how must we accept commitments that the team, the responsible authorities scheduled on the day when they are supposed to be before the committee in the future, Dr. Kamete?
I'm sorry, I cannot answer that because I wasn't part of the scheduling.
The scheduling of the commitment, because this one was long scheduled.
I can't say because I wasn't part of the scheduling of the activities of the chief.
You are correct, Dr. Kometa. Yes, we can then pass. Thabo, you still want to come back?
Yes, Chair. I just wanted to comment on the last engagement you had with Dr. Garnett. Chair, seemingly it will appear that those that are given responsibility are running away from taking responsibility over this particular item. And it can continue to be correct, Chair. We must spend a strong word and condemn this kind of behavior so that those that are responsible, they must respect the portfolio committee. We let them know in time. That is why they've taken time to prepare this particular presentation. But when they must come and present it, and also take questions and account for each and every item that is on the presentation, seemingly they decide to take other commitments rather than prioritize coming to the portfolio committee. It can be correct, Chair. Thank you.
Yes,
that is valid.
Yes, Mr. Mare.
Chairperson, I want to support Honorable Mutle. I mean, this is not the first time this happened. We have raised this in the past, and it seems like it appears to be those responsible and accountable are running away, and on the day that we have scheduled it, suddenly they are not available. That is just unacceptable. We are dealing today, this point is about consequence management. surely we as Parliament and as the Portfolio Committee has got recourses to implement consequence management ourselves. So I think I've mentioned it in the past once, but I again want to appeal to you that we get advice from Parliament's legal advisors on our position, because we cannot be taken for granted, and that is actually embarrassing. We are on a specific path and task and a purpose, and they are just delaying it and are relaying it. It is unacceptable. We've got lots of things to do, and we are making ourselves available, but they are clearly not doing it. It gives the wrong message to us and to South Africa. This is unacceptable, and my request to you is that we postpone this meeting, but that we also get advice from Parliament on our position. Are we just sitting ducks, that they can do whatever they want to with us, that we cannot do our work? And if that is the case, are there any recourse? That is my request. It's unacceptable. We have to set the example if we want them to enforce consequence management. Thank you.
Okay. So you essentially second the Mr. Mutle who said skip the first item until the chief of the defense force has joined the meeting. In which case, if by the time we exhaust the item that you are going to take now, and he has not arrived, so it means that the matter would have to stand down. That is in terms of your suggestion. Until when both of them are in the meeting. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes. And then getting the legal advice down.
Okay. So you'll have me in structuring the question. The legal advisor must answer it's true that it's happening, and if it continues, it may pose a problem. So we are saying that let's stop it now before it becomes endemic. All right. So, colleagues, we can then skip the item on consequence management and then move to the fourth item, that is the report on Zimbabwe. The Major General is in the meeting, is a representative of the Chief of Staff. Let me just check if the DM wants to make a comment before we then close this item properly and move to this item that is being pinned on the screen as we speak. DM, do you have any comment to make before?
Yeah, thank you very much. I've listened very attentively to the views of the committee members. In the interest of time, Chair, let me just say that I do concur with the proposal that we proceed as suggested, and see if by the time we are dealt with the report on the Umzimvuku regiment, would be having in the meeting the Chief of the Defence Force. If not, the view expressed by Honourable Member Mare, I think it's in order. Maybe one can come back at that point, but for now let me step down and concur with the proposed procedure. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DM. Okay. Dr. Gomede, do you want to preface the issues, or you happy to leave it to the Major General to take us through?
Thank you, Chair. I'll leave it to the Major General of my care to take the committee through. Major General?
Morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee on Defence and Military Veterans. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir. Don't forget to introduce yourself. Dr.
Yes, Kamil. I just wanted to find out if I'm audible.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Today, I'm Major General McHugh. I'm representing the SA Army, and I will give today the progress with regards to the previous meeting or session that we attended with regards to our Borders Inquiry, what is the progress thereof. So the purpose of our presentation today is just to brief the Portfolio Committee on Defence and Military Veterans on the progress of the Borders of Inquiry with regards to the incident that occurred last year in 2021 during the July unrest in Umdumbubu Regiment. Just to indicate that our Borders Inquiry was almost concluded when we had that meeting in September. We were then informed that there is a nameless with some attached documents. So when we received in September those attached nameless documents, we had then to reopen that Borders Inquiry just to recall those witnesses as well. So currently, with my presentation, I am just going to reflect preliminary findings and recommendations with regards to that. And in the presentation, I will also highlight it that the Borders Inquiry will then be concluded by the end of November. Next slide. Just to give an introduction, since our last meeting that we had, during that meeting that was held on the 14th of September, there were some certain issues that needed clarity. I just highlighted a few of the issues, and today we will also then conclude to see if we answered all those issues and concerns that was raised with our previous presentation. One of those issues was the authorization papers for the deployment that we presented, and some of the paperwork or questions raised was some of the instructions that we issued during this operation. Also, the media statement that was released, specifically on the 14th of July, was the first media statement, and then thereafter the 21st of July, to get the call-up of these reserve members to assist us with the specific operation Prosper. In the previous presentation, we've also highlighted with regards to the provisions of the Defence Act of 42 of 2002, where we just indicate the categories with regards to members of the regular force and members of the reserve force on a part-time basis for such periods that we can make use of that specific deployment or making use in any unit for other working environments, as well as the general regulations for the reserve. Dated the 2nd of June 2017, where it just indicates you if you want to enroll or enlist a reserve, what is the regulations to adhere to. Also the call-up, as it happened in Umdumbubu, which included the instructions and voice notes in the social media. Next slide. Also the administrative challenges as identified, which led them to senior members being assigned by Chief Army to visit them the Umdumbubu Regiment to correct the administrative challenges that were taking place during that period of Operation Prosper when we look at the unrest that took place in July 2021. Also the alert non-payment, which led them to convene this Board of Inquiry relating to Umdumbubu Regiment. The progress we will now just see today, like I alluded, it will just be preliminary findings and recommendations that we presented as part of these issues that was raised in the previous meeting. Then also after the discussion, we were provided then with a nameless and some attached documents that we also received with regards to the regiment that was directed by the committee, and thereafter we requested some time through our Minister of Defence and Military Veterans that we need some time to reopen the Board of Inquiry and to go through these documentations that we received by the committee to then request the witnesses to give answers on that. And that's why we postponed then the date of the board's inquiry to provide feedback. The next slide that I want to highlight is with regard to the name list that we received. In our previous presentation, the SA Army alluded that we had about a total strength of 808. But the list that we received then on the 14th of September indicated a strength of 815. So the first line was then when we consolidated our investigation on the 22nd of September. We just wanted to highlight on this slide, the 815. You will see to the right of the top slide was the payment of members, and then to the left was the status, whether the members were enlisted or non-enlisted. Enlisted, the 196, means that the files were complete and their requirement was complete to be enlisted in the SA Army. The non-enlisted, the 619, is then what you see the color coding reflecting on the slide as indicated from 40 ID number up to the last one where we indicated civilian. Is then the reasons why we said the 619 was non-enlisted members. Also to take note, Chairperson, that 619, if you look at the color coding list, will not be the 619, but like I indicated, if you look at 40 ID numbers, that's 76. If a member has a 40 ID number, it might be that the member also can fall in the category of discharge of that 100 individuals that is there, or it might be even the member can fall in the category of illicit activities. So it means then the 619 will not be calculated as such as indicated on that slide, but reasons given for each individual that we receive on that list. The SA Army also provided a file to all the relevant members with our explanation as the color coding is reflected on the slide. With regard to the payment of the members to the far left, Chairperson, you will see the members paid was 130 out of the 196 that was enlisted, and the members not paid was in a total amount of 702, and this is then the total of the 815 of the list that we received on the 14th of September. Just to indicate on the slide as well, if Chairperson can see on the color code unaccounted files, by then on the 22nd of September, when we did our thorough investigation, on the 22nd of September, that unaccounted files we could not account it for. The members could be on the roll call for that specific day, but the files was not in the unit and it was not in our position to do the roll call to see if those members were in actual fact part of them. You will also see the second last one with regards to the age. Those five individuals that we've reflected on them, it means when you look at the general regulations, the cutoff age to join or to be enlisted means that you must be under 65. So those five individuals was by then already above the age of 65, so those individuals could not be part of the enlistment criteria. And then the last one, Chairperson, we just highlighted as well, it was also a civilian member that was part of that grouping, and unfortunately, this enlistment was just for members in uniform and not for civilians. Then the next line, Chairperson, we did then a final consolidation by looking again in the unit lines at the formation, the specific formations that had members as well as the Army headquarters to see if we can find some of these files that was accounted for. So, Chairperson, I just wanted to highlight then the difference between the previous slide and this slide that was the stat concluded on the 25th of October, that Chairperson will see the unaccounted files. We could find some of the files, but three files were still unaccounted for up to today. Those files is not in our position and is also not at the Google Regiment. The other factor that I also wanted to highlight out of the 808 that we presented in September, you will see the last slide, we indicated there that these members did not form part of the headcount. When the team was sent to the Umzumbuko regiment, we had our own roll call where we did our headcount. Six of those members we could not find on our list, as well as the one civilian member that we added on there that was not part of that reserve force unit. So the members that did not form part of our headcount that we had, the list of 808, was then seven. Like I've indicated, those seven, the one the civilian and the six was not part when we did the roll call with our senior officials that went into Umzumbuko regiment. Next slide. Now the progress regarding the border inquiry, like I indicated, Chairperson, on the 14th of September, we then received this list with attached documents, and thus we had to ask the president of the border inquiry to reopen this board, because there was some of the documentation that we received. We had them to question our witnesses and to see if there's maybe new witnesses of the information that we received on the 14th of September. And thus, today, we would like to give our prelim findings and recommendations, because the board date that we gave to the president of the Board of Inquiry for Umzumbuko Regiment, we gave him a target date of end of November to conclude this, and then we can then give the final findings and recommendations to members of the Portfolio Committee on the Central Military Veterans. Continue. The thing is, the prelim findings that we just want to highlight to the committee members today, Chairperson. The first one we just want to indicate with regards to the media statements that was issued by Chief Army Corporate Communication dated the 14th of July, indicated that all reserve members must report for duty at first line on the 15th of July 2021. This actually indicates that it means this is reserve members already enlisted at their respective units that had to report for this operation, where uncontrolled events took place, including the looting event indicated in and specifically the Gauteng provinces. Based on the media statement release, as we mentioned, the SA Army HQ wrote an instruction number 53, 2021, dated 20 July 2021, highlighting then what is the procedure for these members then to be called up for this particular operation prosper. After that, the SA Army Infantry Formation also then wrote an instruction number 323 of 2021, dated 5 August, for the activation then of the reserve call-ups for those members then, that means they belong to those units, can be utilized then for Operation Prosper. We also then, in the instruction, highlighted that for these members then that reported, what was the enlistment criteria then to make use of, not for these members then to take part of this operation. An instruction also entailed in the media statement that the SA Army Infantry Formation instruction was not carried out effectively. Calling up of reserve was done. However, the enlistment that took place was not done according to the normal procedures and guidelines, like I alluded when we look at the general regulations of the reserves dated the 2nd June 2017. Continue. Other prelim findings that we've also highlighted here was the normal procedure followed for enlistment is that members hand in their documents with their full particulars, like indicated how you do the enlistment at the unit HR section, where after they had to leave the unit, so that they can then be contacted later for feedback to see do they qualify as according to the enlistment criteria. This time around, in Umzumbuko Regiment decided to keep the enlistees in the unit line of 14th Sahel Battalion and further utilize some of these members who identified to be later to be the leader group of the unit. There was no authority granted by the specific formation for the utilization of the above mentioned people. State resources were also utilized, Chairperson, in the day-to-day management from the accommodation as well as feeding these members and other social well-being and logistical aspects that they had to carry out within the unit of keeping these members reported for the enlistment at the Ndumbugu Regiment as indicated. The voice notes and the WhatsApp messages that were utilized were also part of the findings for this call-up of the reserve, including the enlistees. On the first round, when the President of the Board Inquiry visited Ndumbugu Regiment, we had some interviews with some of the witnesses. Members of the board were presented with the leader group that was just appointed and who were part of the enlistees. So it means, Chairperson, the first round of the questions asked, the witnesses was not the current leader group that was staffed by the GOC infantry formation. It was the enlistees that took over that responsibility. On the second round of the visit by the President of the Board of Inquiry, members returned to Ndumbugu Regiment. There existed a leader group that was staffed and not the enlistees of Ndumbugu Regiment, surfaced them, and they clearly indicated to the President of the Board of Inquiry that they were sidelined during the enlistment process. People who came for the enlistment were placed in their positions, thus replacing that specific leader group. Next slide. The new enlisted that we talk about, Chairperson, and I also want to highlight, during the prelim findings and recommendations that I'm going to present, we are not going to make mention of any names during this presentation because we are waiting to conclude this board of inquiry and then only we will release the names of these individuals that we are talking about. So these new enlistees, we highlighted the nine members that were utilized before the enlistment process, the new appointees that we indicated was being part of that specific leader group. The leader group of the enlistees that were appointed took over all the key positions and then excluded the current leader group that was in actual fact appointed to run the day-to-day maintenance and functions of that specific unit. Members of the existing structure, the 40 members of the unit, these are the members of the unit replaced then by the new appointees. The enlistees were also given authority, the legal authority that I must highlight, Chairperson, to sign for funds as they were given the specimen signatures. And these details will follow afterwards of these amounts that we will reflect in that they approved. The SAOMI HQ contingent that was deployed to that specific unit to make them an intervention regarding the existing situation, we also made use then of their documentation and their roll call to get to our findings then. Next slide. The SAOMI HQ contingent also addressed all enlistees at the parade ground when they visited to do their investigation. And within that parade ground, they undertook then to all the enlistees that they will be paid in cash a stipend before leaving the unit. The enlistees demanded also uniform to a specific ASB, and that demand was given where after all the enlistees that was there were issued themselves without paper trail and accountability then with regards to the military uniform. The unit expenditure coordinating meetings were also not taking place according to the set criteria when you do financial management in those specific unit that we've highlighted. And the procurement was being conducted not according to procurement processes. The cash that was drawn and sometimes also deposited into the personal accounts of these individuals that we've highlighted on the procurement of these members to do the purchases of the unit that was not part of the regular members of that reserve unit. Some of the enlistees that went to Ndumbugu Regiment during the July unrest in 2021 were paid salaries towards the end of 2021 after the enlistment process was completed, but some were also not paid, and that was also part of our findings. Chairperson, when we look at what the state incurred, the following costs during the whole process were incurred. And like I indicated previously, that these members that signed off did not have a delegation. to do as required. One of the bullets was the listing bus ticket. That was now movement to and from Utata, where 15th Battalion was to an amount of 283,000 rand. Listing transport to take members home, 81,342 rand. The ration cost for all the members that were fed during those process of the enlistment, they used the commercialized mess of 14th Battalion to amount of 4,270,490 rand. The administration and all the logistical needs and requirements during that period was 54,498. Chairperson, also to highlight the two bullets on in the red, we've just indicated when we did the findings. The first one was just the projected figure when those members did the investigation, the team that Chief Army sent to the Mzungu Regiment, and then the second is the envisioned total cost after we've got all the total cost amount to that amount of the 28 million that is reflected as such. Continue. Also, Chairperson, to take note, during that period there was not sufficient accommodation, so they had to procure 400 mattresses for the Mzungu Regiment by means working through the commercialized mess fund to the amount of 199,870 rand for the enlistees. And this, just to highlight, was also the illegal use of this fund via the commercialized mess procurement process. And when we look, next slide, when we look at our prelim recommendations, Chairperson, we indicated here that we recommended that unit OCs, and this is now an recommendation not just for Mzungu, but in all the unit environments, that should not misinterpret any of the instructions when higher HQs give that instructions to level 4 units. Follow-up clarity should be done if we do not understand these instructions given to our subordinate units by the OCs to ensure that they are executing the correct orders as per their headquarters. Staff officers from all the formations, specifically in the force prep environment and the reserves, should monitor the operational processes and administration procedures from all the units to ensure that these occurrences that happened should not repeat itself. All the proper procedures and processes should be adhered to as prescribed when I indicated with regard to the provisions of the Defence Act as well as the general regulations for the reserves, later 2nd June 27, and all the other SA Army orders that we forward to the unit and formations should be adhered to by the Reserve Force Unit OCs before the utilization of people in the unit, and the headquarters have to grant authority for payment processes for these reserves that were set up. But Chairperson, also we indicated as a recommendation that there was a deliberate act to divert the focus of this order of inquiry by bringing the enlistees that were appointed as leader group of Mzungu Regiment while leaving out the actual leader group that was actually staffed in that specific unit. Therefore, it is recommended as a prelim recommendation that disciplinary action is taken against that member, that individual, for deceiving the board of inquiry that is convened currently by the Chief Army, as the actual truth was concealed. Next slide. Another recommendation was also the appointment of the enlistee, the specific leader group, as an indication that there were intentions to replace the actual incumbents of the post as the new enlistees were already appointed and given authority and specimen signatures. It is hereby also recommended that the enlistees leader group to be removed from the structure of Mzungu Regiment and also to be totally removed from the system as a whole. Furthermore, disciplinary action should be taken against the authority as there was no authorization from the higher HQ to give such instruction. It is also recommended that enlistees should be paid the stipend of the period other than the daily rate salary as these members did not form part of the reserves and were not utilized during Operation Prosper. A statement should be placed in the net of peace of all the members. It is now currently at 1, there's 4 members that passed on. Currently it's now registered as 50 members that passed on, so that the next air of kin can give them the specific stipend. The disciplinary action also should be taken against this member for creating an expectation to the members as a member who authorized the payment of the specific salaries that was issued by December 2021 as currently reflected on the slides given. It is also hereby recommended that the disciplinary action should be taken against a member who authorized the demand and issuing of uniform illegally to the enlistees during the period of July until September 2021. Next slide. Another recommendation that we also highlighted here as a prelim recommendation is over and above during the interviewing of the witnesses. It came out that the Unit Expenditure Control Committee meetings and the Reserve Force Call-Up Committees are not taking place as guided guidelines that we gave to these specific units in the unit as it is supposed to. That can lead to the misappropriation of funds as well as irregular call-up of members. It is therefore then recommended as a prelim recommendation that formations to proper monitoring of the said activities as well as disciplinary actions should be taken against this member for not adhering to the processes that led to this board of inquiry. It is also recommended that formations conduct the close monitoring of the administration with regards to expenditure of all the reserve units. It is also recommended that stipulated call-up procedures should be followed and adhered to in all reserve force units. Next slide. Chairperson, with regards to the state incurred costs, all the losses of the non-public funds included, the first one that we indicated, the enlisted bus tickets to and from one to another unit, it is recommended here as a prelim recommendation that the acting GOC by the time has distanced himself from signing off these bus tickets. It is also hereby then recommended that the disciplinary action is taken against that specific individual who approved the buying of the bus tickets for the enlistees. On the military transport costing that took the members from the unit to home, we also recommended here that disciplinary action should be taken against that specific individual who authorized and arranged the specific transport for the members to return home. When we look at the next bullet, transportation costing from the commercialized mess, it is hereby also recommended that disciplinary action should be taken against that specific individual who placed the request at 14th Thai Battalion to make use of that specific mess by issuing them the rations to feed the members during that current period. Also, the administration of the logistical requirements for that period, we also recommend that disciplinary action should be taken against those particular members involved in giving that authority for all the transactions that took place by procuring all the logistical requirements during that particular event. Continue. Also, with regards to the procurement of the 400 mattresses for the Wounded Global Regiment, we recommend that this amount of money should be recovered from the member who gave the instruction for such procurement. The money should be paid back to that specific mess indicating in the presentation that was 14th Thai South African Battalion. We've also been our final prelim recommendation. We indicated that the county intelligence investigation should be instituted to find out what was the actual intention surrounding the situation that prevailed during the Operation Prosper at Umzumbubu Regiment. Like I indicated, Chief Minister, this was just the findings and recommendations prelim. When we conclude the end of November, we will then indicate who is the members that we indicate must be recommended either to be charged or then to pay back the funds or recover it from those specific individuals. Next slide. The way forward in Chairperson, like was indicated, there is still currently two witnesses that need to be interviewed. The Chairperson must just take note of the time period that we received from September. These members, some of them is members still as civilians in provinces, and the President of the Board of Inquiry is making all means to see that we complete this Board of Inquiry by the end of November so that we can hand it in to the control, the convening authority, that is then Chief Army, to make his final decision, and then we will then conclude this Board of Inquiry. Chairperson, that is then the presentation on the issues that was raised on the 14th of September, where you wanted clarity. I then hand over, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Listen, I'm handing over.
The presentation. Yes, you don't hear me? Colleagues, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
I was just beginning to be worried. Okay, General Makhiu, thank you very much for the presentation. I must say it's for the first time that we get a response as detailed as this one that goes right into the nub of the problem with clear recommendations and the way forward. But as you are saying, the recommendations are preliminary, and because we are yet to do one or two or three interviews before you make your findings final. Colleagues, over to you. And I don't see the hands. Mr. Mare.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Major General McHugh, for your presentation. And obviously, my comments to you on your presentation is not against you, because, I mean, you are only the person who is presenting this on behalf of the Army. Obviously, it's going to be very important to look at the final Board of Inquiry. There are quite a number of things that was mentioned today, and it was obviously partial mentioning or incompletely mentioning a number of things that poses more questions than it gives answers, in my opinion. I think, Chair, we were presented or given information by some of these enlistees, and it was sent to you and to us, and some of this seems to be very much contradictory to that. So obviously, one don't want to jump to conclusions before we have the final Board of Inquiry report, and I think it will be important for us to not only have a presentation on the final Board of Inquiries, but to interrogate the Board of Inquiry report in terms of what is in there. We know about other instructions that was given other than that was mentioned today. There was one from General Bata on the 26th of July, where there was specifically instructions with regards to NA members to be enlisted by normal enlisting process without delays, and the other is that Army orders be implemented and guided by General Keating. There's also the role of General Moni, General Jalisi, especially General Moni, where he said on the 4th of August, where he changed his orders and said that all members must stay. Now, it sounded today as if there was one member who had hijacked the whole process. And that I find hard to believe, that one member of either Colonel Keating or the enlistees has hijacked this whole process, and then it means that they can actually hijack the whole defense force. And we know that there was also pictures
of all these generals that was there addressing the people. And this, so I find it difficult to actually ask questions because these seems to be so much in contradiction. In terms of the people that was paid, there were some people paid around about September, and then there were people paid end of December. So it seems like these people that was paid at a rifleman's salary, although it seems that less were paid previously. So there are so many information that is lacking at this stage, that the evidence that I think that we have got is quite different. Just the one thing, a stipend. Since when is a stipend, and what is a stipend? Is that a kind of like in the old days where you have got conscripts, then you pay the stipend, or when is the definition from a stipend within the Defence Force coming from? I also find it difficult where they was referring to two leader groups. Now, a leader group cannot appoint themselves, and then did all the so-called damage that was mentioned. So there must be a higher authority who has authorized this. There must also be some higher authority who has authorized, for instance, the procurement of mattresses, the issuing of uniforms, the commitments given for payments. Even there are information about certain generals who was given the confirmation and the commitment for cash payments, which eventually we know it would have been irregular. So there are so many of the information that was given today that I doubt personally, based on what we have seen as a committee and what we have received as a committee, as incredibly doubtful. So I've got a major concern because someone is not transparent and open with us. So I just want to find out also the process going to the final board of inquiry and how, they're going to deal with that. If this is not a credible process, we will damage the image of the Defence Force even further. And if we want to enlist people for future deployments, this is going to make a huge, huge impact. There were people who were called up even on the voice notes. But remember, some of them are also, in my opinion, very disciplined people. There's in the code of conduct, there's one thing that says, I will carry out my mission with courage, but I will also obey all lawful commands and respect my superiors. So you can't expect from lower ranks and even enlistees to ignore instructions from higher ranks and superiors and eventually just blame them for being irregular or illegal. This seems to be a pop-out and shifting the blame to certain individuals. And this is just an easy way out, and it's as I see it now, it's an unacceptable presentation. It is not credible, although it gives a preliminary findings, which can be totally different from the final findings and recommendations. But as it stands now, and as we were presented it today, I've got so much more questions now than I've had in the past. So I'm not sure how we're going to take this forward and whether there will be any justification and merits to actually interrogate this presentation now, given that the final Board of Inquiry report and recommendations can be totally different. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Thabo Motle.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Unlike Honorable Maraya, I think I will appreciate this report and commend the department for the work done
to ensure that they also take action against those that have transgressed in terms of the laws that govern them at that particular level. But my question is with regard to the recommendations that they have made, that some of those amounts, tickets to and from Mthatha, military transport costs, as well as commercialized meth, which is the highest in terms of the resources that have been spent there at 4.2 million. Recommending that some of those resources must be recovered from those who have committed this, who have transgressed or taken advantage. Chair, I'm raising this because in our last meeting with the department, we were discussing the disadvantage of them not having contracts for such essential services. What is then their view in terms of the current setup of commercialized mess? This should be an eye-opener to say scavengers will always be waiting if you don't tighten your processes. Once such deployments are necessitated, those that are always ready to milk the state resources will use these opportunities, such as the opportunity or powers vested in them to procure certain things to advantage a certain delegation to ensure that they just haphazardly do it for their own benefit, not necessarily for the benefit of those that will be on the ground. So what lessons they learned with this particular case of Umsumbu, whatever regiment in this regard. Thank you very much.
In better time, watch out. No. Thank you very much for those questions. All right, just from my side, I agree with Thabo. As the first speaker, I think the report we're told is work in progress, and has actually unearthed some of the rot, and we're told that the report is preliminary, and is still gonna process further. So hence I welcome it as work in progress. And but where I agree with the general as to what happened later. In my view, who then sent out a message that speaks to the transgressions along the way. But the bottom line is, as the presentation suggests, that the enlistment criteria was not followed. See, it means that at the entry point, there are certain elements of the criteria that were not followed. And if you don't follow those elements, and the messages that came thereafter would not have actually cured that contamination, because the process was contaminated right from the beginning. And it goes on to say that on top of it, confirmatory instructions, two confirmatory instructions in July and in August were issued out and to straighten things out. But those confirmatory instructions to call them South African Army Infantry Formation instructions were not carried out effectively. So that's why the contamination happened. As to who, what message came up and came out along the way, sometimes it's immaterial. It's either those messages compounded the problem, and or they did not assist in curing the contamination that happened at the beginning. So as part of that entry process, and the leader groups were changed, in fact were replaced with other leader groups and so on. And the intention there is very clear that you see it's there was some untoward in fact, let me say, that too was not part of the normal procedure as it were. And so that in my view says it all. But so and then but my question to the colleague is that she says I'm looking at the list where she says I don't have the list with me now. It's page 5 of the presentation where it lists the categories of matters, and that you know made some of them not to be enlistable, so to speak. For example, I mean, in cases where the ID and the personal were not in alignment, so I think there's about close to 200 of those cases. My question to the general is, assuming those that alignment is corrected, would that then mean that the number of people were properly, let's say the ID and the thing is aligned and is confirmed that indeed those were reserved, would that then increase the number from 113 or 196 of people who are accepted as having been properly enlisted from 196 to by that number? There are instances, a category where you say it's a 40 ID number, okay? Maybe the two would, one may be incorporating the other, depending on how you have structured the categories. And would also that number two of those who are 40 ID, as soon as, let's say the 40 is the number 10, it's one digit that is incorrect. But however, the person was there and is a reserve and he doesn't have all these other things, criminal records and so on and so forth. Would also this number, 196, increase by that number as well? So, and then the other five whose files are unaccountable. Assume tomorrow you get the files, those private files, and indeed they were there, you are saying they were there, but you don't have the files. The files are now there and they confirm that they are indeed military veterans with and would also the number go up by that number too. So I'm saying number 96 that has so far been verified. It looks too small in my view, and that it may go up and
significantly by just out of doing further work on the files that have been submitted to the department. So I'm saying let's welcome the presentation and then encourage you to do more work on the files so that people don't disadvantage simply because the ID number was captured incorrectly. We understand people were in a hurry and the situation was very bad. And it's just that we now is in a peacetime. We must understand when all this happened. It may be that there were good reasons why some of the shortcuts had to be made, but of course not a flagrant violation of the procedures for the enlistment criteria to a point where you enlist even people with records, criminal records. So I want to leave it at that. So colleagues, I now want to hand over back to you for comment, and then we close the night.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just with regards to the first speaker, Honourable Member Mr. Marais, we take note what he indicated, that it is best to wait for the final conclusion of the Board of Inquiry. Also to take note that the Board of Inquiry is an administrative process that the Department is adhering to. So if there is any witnesses that we have questioned, by all means, if that witness is having additional documentation on him that can provide more detail to the President of the Board of Inquiry, by all means, they can give that documentation. But what we have currently, that is the documentation that we make use when we conclude this Board of Inquiry to do the necessary findings and recommendations. But we take note of all these concerns, of the questions that raised, specifically with regard to the senior members with that instructions that were given, as well as the leader group that did not appoint himself, to take note of all those questions raised by him, as well as the procurement and the issuing of the uniforms, where these members received the instructions, whether it's from unit level or higher level. We take note of his questions that he raised. And then also that we wait for the final process for this Board of Inquiry to be concluded, and then to iron out then all the uncertainties when we then present the final Board of Inquiry. Also with the second speaker, with the resources that he's supposed to recover, specifically when we look at the commercialized listing where they use the rations. We've got processes and procedures in place, but Chairperson, like you've alluded, that the instructions that go into the unit level, there is in some instances that these members are not executing higher level instructions. If members are preparing to execute a normal operation from the Army side, when we get a directive from Chief Joint Operations, we write a commissioning instruction, and in that commissioning instruction from force preparation, we indicate from the feeding of the troops, the issuing of the equipment, up to the number of personnel required for that specific operation. So all these details are highlighted in instructions. It's on ground that individual that neglects to execute the instructions that were given to them for that specific operation. Chairperson, I also take note on your comment and questions raised, specifically when it comes to the administrative process, how we deal with and the evidence that we received from the witnesses, from the unit, as well as from the portfolio of defense committee and military veterans on the 14th of September that they are making use, and that is part of the investigation, as well as the enlistment requirements. And you've indicated the total amount of the 196 that we've indicated that's currently enlisted. Chairperson, you are correct when you say some of these color coding, there is some of the members that the unit is making contact with where there is a faulty ID. It is that member's responsibility to go to our base to correct this ID. Some of these members that is registered on our system, the system will pick up it's either a wrong digits of the force number or wrong digits of the ID number. Those members were reflected as such to see if you have the right name and surname at least, and they were informed with regard to that. But in some cases, Chairperson, like I've indicated, when a member has a faulty ID number, that specific individual might have been an illicit activity as well. And that requires then that we cannot enlist this member. So with the color coding that we indicated there, the members that we really cannot accept is then when you look at the age and where they were not recommended by that specific career manager or service or division, because some of these members were not just SA Army members, but they belong to other services and divisions as well. So where we could indicate to the member, go to our office, go verify your ID number so that we can correct the name on the system. If that was the only feature left in that file, we are requesting that from those individuals also then to be enlisted. But like I've indicated, some of them is not just one on the color code, it's either the faulty ID number or the member was discharged or the member also had an illicit activity. But we take note of the questions and concerns raised, and we will gladly, when we conclude this board inquiry, take note of that and see when we finally present the board of inquiry and unpack it to the portfolio to have all these questions and concerns answered. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Okay. There's Malcolm. I don't know who Malcolm is. Is up.
Hello, Honourable Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Yes. Who are you?
I am just presenting myself, Captain Daines, the appointed enlistment adjutant of Kumzum Vugu Regiment during this period last year. May I have authority to speak, sir?
Maybe let's set out the process. Is it possible to draft an affidavit and send it to he send the thing to, so that we don't have to sit in judgment of the matters in case he contradicts your statement or some of the things that you may have said?
Yes, there's absolutely no problem with that, sir. I'd just like to convey to General Merkir, thank you very much for a good objective feedback regarding the PowerPoints.
Honorable Chair.
Yes,
Honorable
sir.
Chair.
Yes, yes, DM. Can you hold on, Mr. Michael?
I will do so, sir. My apology, Chair, for interrupting the proceedings of the committee. The speaker, who is now on the floor, has introduced himself to be a member of the South African National Defence Force, possibly in the reserves, and in the structures within the environment of Zimbabwe Regiment. The meeting is a meeting of the Committee of Parliament. the account that we are discussing of what happened has been presented by department officials, including the officers of the South African National Defence Force. Is it procedural that a member coming from the South African National Defence Force be allowed to make a submission directly in the proceedings of the joint, I mean, of the portfolio committee of Parliament? Ordinarily, even with any other person, members of the public would be allowed to be in attendance, but they'll be in attendance to observe without the right to speak, because the meeting is of the committee, is of members of Parliament. I don't want to go into what may arise out of the submission that he wants to make, the difficulty that it may pose to the committee, but I'm just rising on procedure. If it is appropriate that the speaker on the floor be allowed to continue with his submission.
Yes.
Just
before you, Mr. Madai, I think I must hold on the point that has been made. I did ask a question just before I roll on it, but I will also listen to what you have to say. General McHugh?
Yes, Chairperson, I can hear.
Yes, must I refer this person to you in the form of an affidavit from him?
Chairperson, this current member that is talking is a witness, is a registered witness of the Board of Inquiry, is having the details of the President of the Board of Inquiry, Brigadier General Matibuku. So I will suggest that he make contact with the President of the Board of Inquiry if he is having new information or an affidavit. He's sworn in as a witness, and he must follow those procedures. Thank you,
Chairperson. I think that's the procedure I know. Thank you very much for your guidance on this matter. I now can enter this to Sherebe. Sherebe, and then Mr.
Yeah, Chairperson, I'm sorry, because now, I mean, anyway, there is a recommendation that has been taken about the member that was speaking. But my concern was that, I mean, if the member, say, was not allowed to comment in the meeting, how come, I mean, the mayor was invited to the meeting? Because I'm trying to understand that, because before, I mean, that meeting is about people invited to come to the meeting. I'm looking now to the extent, I mean, of the meeting, how, I mean, the person came in, because it's like now any member can come in. I'm checking if the member was invited. What was expected of him? Was he coming as an observer, or was he coming to comment? But surely by him being able to be in the meeting, something has happened that the member was invited. So I want to check if the member was invited by who, on what status, whether observer or to listen or to participate. That's my question. He must be respected somewhere without knowing how, on what status that he was invited to the meeting. Thank you.
It's a public meeting, and so people come to the meeting without any invitation. And the invite was to the department for a presentation on their investigation. Does it assist you, Dr. Shalem?
Yes, of course, it assists me, but Chairperson, I'm wondering now, in future, where we get someone come to the meeting, because it's a public meeting, there must be some control that a person cannot just be given the platform to speak if he is there on the status of being an observer. So from what chairperson that one day we'll get someone come in, you speak something, but after you've spoken, then you say, oh, the wrong person has spoken something in the wrong platform. Maybe chairperson in the future, let's say there must be a control to know who would be, I mean, participating in the engagement, so that we don't have that similar situation.
Okay, I think I've covered you to say that I checked to Mr. Malcolm, please. The intention was to receive the briefing on the thing, and it's been clarified that Mr. Malcolm is one of the witnesses, and that he has the contact of the presiding officer, and that if he has any further information, as a person, you must relay that information to. I think that closes the matter in my view. Mr. Marek?
Thank you, Chair. Just to comment on what the Deputy Minister has said, we can decide, we make our own rules in terms of how we want to do our business. And we can invite, I mean, whether this was an invitation or not, we can invite anybody, you know, so the minister cannot prescribe, or the deputy minister prescribe to us.
In this case, I've not invited anyone. I've invited
Mr. Marek, ordinarily, the
deputy minister was correct, and I sought guidance from the presider, Major General, and she clarified that the person is a witness. And that if he has any further information to submit to the thing, he has the contact details of the presiding officer. Why can't we leave it at that?
Exactly. I don't differ with that at all. So that is the right route, in my opinion. However, I just want to say to the Deputy Minister, in any other situation, we as a committee have got the authority to invite whoever we want to, or to approve or authorize anybody in terms of our own decisions. That's all that I'm saying. Thank you.
And the Deputy Minister is a member of Parliament, and he chaired a number of committees before, and he's pretty aware of the process.
So he should know.
He called a point of order in the beginning, which I sustained. Can we move out of this item, colleagues? So we are delaying this issue unnecessarily. All right. Okay, so colleagues, can we now go back to item number 3, just to check if we can then deal with it? Do we have any information as to whether we can proceed with the matter?
My humble apology, Chair. Just before we step, the committee steps down from the item we're dealing with, I thought that I should just make two observations for purposes of future business of the oversight. We should get, for ourselves clarity on how we deal with these issues. I have listened to the comments made by, my apologies, I've listened to the comments made by and observations made by Mr. Murray, Honorable Murray, and realize that if we are not vigilant to what his comments imply, we will be unable in future to ensure proper interface between the department, the ministry, and the oversight. You see, Honorable Mare made the following observation, Chair, with the, therefore your indulgence. He says, contradictions between the account given by the department and those of the enlistees, of those who were enlisted. And he further then says there are other instructions which were issued by the command which are not mentioned in the report that has just been shared with the oversight committee. And he further says there is a higher authority which was responsible for some of the directives, and concludes by saying there is a shifting of responsibility in the report that he is discerning. Now, I'm not raising these statements to question their accuracy or how factual they are. I'm raising a procedural matter, which is that at the level of Parliament as an oversight over the department, how do we deal with the information around the activities of the department if we do not rely on the information the department places before the committee? I'm saying this because you see, any one of the members of Parliament, I would imagine, has possibilities of interacting with individuals within the department. But if when discussing the work of the department, when the department must account, the oversight does not rely on the reports tabled by the department, the accounting officers of the department, and we foreground information that we have picked up on the sideline, it is going to make matters, I submit, difficult, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We've got to find a way in which we play the game by the rules or within the stipulated frameworks. If the department's report as presented, there is a strong feeling that it is inaccurate, it is an inexact presentation of the facts, then the department has misled the oversight committee. And that is a matter formally that we must take up, and even the ministry must come into it. Why the department would mislead the oversight and present wrong information about what happened at Umzimbu. I just thought that that is something which we may want to think about, Chair, and possibly not necessarily conclude today, but going forward is something that we must be alive to. Lastly, I want to say that, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member, I had the opportunity to go through two other documents which I'm not sure whether the committee has had sight of their contents. The one is the Army Inspectorate General's investigation into the Umzimbubu Regiment, called ARM. And that investigation is actually the inspectorate's evaluation of the report of the Board of Inquiry. The other document is the Chief of the Army's remarks on the findings and recommendations of this report of the Board of Inquiry. Now, there are interesting things that are said there by the two offices. What I note is that the Inspector General's report says something at the end, which is also important for us to note, which is that it says the Board of Inquiry and the interviews they undertook with the members, including their findings, are not consistent with the now reaches conclusions that are not directly from their engagement with the witnesses. You see, it is different from what Mr. Marais is saying. Here the Inspector General says the material before the Board of Inquiry was not efficiently handled or was not technically evaluated by the Board of Inquiry. That is something else. But I think because the Inspector General is the statutory structure, it is important that we must take note of that comment. And of course, from the comment, the remarks of the Chief of the Army, what I also lastly take as important is that the Chief of the Army says, I've taken note of the findings and the recommendations of consequence management, but I also want to recommend that the Chief of the South African National Defence Force must consider instituting an investigation into this matter by the Defence Intelligence, because there are certain things that do not rhyme with me. I just thought that those two comments from those two documents, the oversight may want to just follow up, because they were not presented here, they may want to take the issues up in their engagement. Thank you very much for indulging me, Chair.
Thank you very much, DM. The comment was not privy to the two documents that you have just referred to, one from the Inspector General and the other from the Chief of the Army. Maybe they are still internal to the department, and that they will be factored into the process towards finalizing the report. Can I get an indication, General, that the matter will be considered before the matter is finalized?
Yes, and just to indicate, with my presentation, part of the recommendations, the county intelligence is defense intelligence that we've indicated they must do a separate investigation. It was part of the prelim findings that I've presented today. But we take note of the report, and it will be included in the board of inquiry, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DM, for that input. But on the first part of your input, in relation to what Mr. Marais said, yes, it was the view of Mr. Marais, and certainly not the position of the committee. But what appeared in my view as the position of the committee is the fact that we welcome the report as work in progress, and that we look forward to it being finalized and those implicated, called to account eventually, one, and then two, people those who at the moment are not part of the 196, but who may better with further in investigation be verified should be included to the number, and we refer, I mean the people who are referring to are those with ID numbers so that they are not disadvantaged simply because the people in the office captured their details incorrectly. Two people with whose personal and IDs, ID personal numbers and ID numbers were not in sync. I'm sure with further investigation, the two can be sorted out so that people don't disadvantage, unnecessarily. The five whose files are unaccounted for. But that some work must be done to look for those files, that if indeed they are found and they are verified, and that their number two be included to the tally. And so maybe let's leave it at that for now, and say that it's work in progress is accepted in that sense, and that whoever has information that may assist, I'm now speaking generally to the public, whoever has information that may assist the investigators, they know who the investigating authority is, and they must relay that information to that person and not to the portfolio committee, because in that case, they will not be in a position to assist them, because we don't evaluate the information that comes before us. The body that is entrusted with that responsibility is there, created by law, to take all the evidence, weigh them, and make the findings on them. So let's leave it at that for now and then move to the next item. The next item, I wanted first to check with Dr. Kamede if the people we're waiting for have finally arrived. Dr. Kamede?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I've been informed in writing that the Chief of the Defence Force is meeting with the President. That's why he cannot join this meeting.
All right. So now would it means that the matter would stand down. Look, in fairness to the Chief, usually, I doubt if the Chief was aware that the accounting officer would not be in the meeting. Is that correct, Dr. Kamede?
I can't answer that, Chair. I'm not aware.
Yes, I want to assume so. And two, that even if yeah, so in that way, when we expect him to come to the meeting, we write to the minister and express that his presence is also required at the meeting. And this time, we did not do it, and because you know, like, all this happened in the last minute. The meeting was planned long time ago, but we only got to know about the fact that the sector would not be in the meeting yesterday. So maybe in the future, it was an emergency, we are told, and something we can't do anything about. So we want to leave it at that for now and then decide what we want to do. But before we decide what we want to do, I would ask Brian to just beam one document that would ask you and Abonzi to look at, because it's work since it's our observation since you last presented, Brian. Brian, are you beaming up the document?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Dr. Kamede, please take this home. Where is this now? Okay. Okay, so what this is a tracking document, Dr. Kamede and Mr. Epozi, that you need to look at. The research unit of the portfolio committee took what was presented to the portfolio committee in November 2021. You gave us the register of all the irregular expenditure. And starting from the irregular with the highest amounts, of course, the highest amount would be irregular expenditure arising from the compensation of employees, right down to irregular expenditure with the lowest amounts below 100,000 rand. It's quite a lengthy document. We appreciate that you gave us this information. So from the highest to the lowest amount, detailing every, the description and the progress to date. In other words, progress to date is progress as in November 2021. He then created a column indicating the latest information in terms of the document that you submitted to us on the 31st of October, 31st of October 2022. So, because the discussion is about progress made since the last time, I'm sure the document, you can see the status as in November, Ebonsi and General. Just flip it through, just page it through slowly, this thing. Sorry, so just before that, just stop. Okay, can you see the status in November and status in October, Dr. Kamedi?
Yes, Chair. I can see the status in November, and yes, and in October, yes, I can see.
Yeah, and Mr.
Abonzu,
can you see it?
Yes, Chair, we are able to see it, Chair. Thank you.
And there's a column in the extreme right that records whether there was progress from the last time you received the presentation. Can you see that column?
Yes,
and so that is the status a year later. It's not a year later, it's about 11 months later. So, and then this information, Dr. Kamede, it doesn't go to amounts below 4 million. It starts with the highest amount and it ends with the amount with 4 million rand. And because if we included amounts below 4 million rand, it was going to be too lengthy a document. 11 pages, it was going to be longer than that. And take the whole time of the meeting. So that's what the research committee has done. So you can see the no progress. Just scroll it down, Brian. We're not discussing it. So that you can see the amounts are familiar. Go down, Brian. Also includes new matters that are reflected in the October document and which were not in the previous document. It will indicate where there was no previous reporting. And it will also indicate where there was previous reporting, but there is no reporting this time around.
I think it ends at 4.2. And then after that, it will be wasteful and fruitless, which is new. It was not in the list, because this list spoke to irregular expenditure on the November list. So this is new as it appears in your list, the October list. That's the reason why you don't say no reporting, not reporting. So on progress, there will be no comment because of that. So because we're not benchmarking the current reporting to the previous reporting, as there were no previous reporting on it. Okay, just go down. Okay. Right. Let's take another document, the second document, Brian, that reports of the BOI, the status of investigations that are said to be within the BOI environment and those that are supposed to have been before the BOI environment, but remain, unresolved, or nothing is being done about them. The second document, right?
The document would have been sent from the department.
It's from the research. There are two documents. It's this one and the second one.
All for the final determination, and
long time ago. That's a report we got in September, in November last year. And even in this report, it doesn't indicate any progress. I just got that. Okay, so let's go down. Again, make us known, but no progress. And slow start to investigation. Sorry, slow start to investigation. These are matters where no investigation has happened. 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2022. This talks to the effectiveness of the BOIs 2.5. BOIs taking long to complete cases or have simply found no one liable for irregular investment expenditure. So this information is extracted from your document, Dr. Kamede Ebuts. For example, this one, the outcome of the BOI could not find anybody responsible due to lack of the documentary evidence. Convening authority will reconvene the BOI. BOI complete, but convening authority not satisfied with the outcome due to some gaps. BOI established in 2021 and the president of the BOI requested numerous extensions. BOI completed, but some gaps found which led to reconvening of investigations. This talks to the effectiveness of the BOIs. All right. So we thought we should just summarize your document so that you see that the committee does look at the information that you are presenting. We want to leave it at that. Colleagues, can we then discuss it? We said if the chief is not in the meeting, or both the chief and the secretary are not in the meeting, the matter will stand down. Can we, and that motion was seconded. I think we don't have to discuss this any further. We can then move to the next item. And then, yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Chair, if I may, with your indulgence, there are two issues that I'm just missing that we have dealt with over the last year. The one was one military ramp project. I see no reference to that, and we know that that is a major problem, and I was just wondering where does that ramp project and the investigation...
Is that the Abacus report, Mr. Mare? I saw a reference to it in this document.
And then Tectura.
Tectura is also in the... Or Tectura is either in this document or is part of the fraud and corruption document. I saw it in one of their documents.
Okay, if we can just
remember this. Yeah, remember this deals with irregular, fruitless, and wasteful. There's another section that is within the environment, Admiral Maputo's environment. It deals with the fraud and corruption. Those cases are not in the report, yeah.
Correct, but remember the Auditor General has reported in terms of fruitless wasteful expenditure on the RAND project. So in other words, that should be included, and that's why I'm just asking the question. And then another question just on the latest matters. Is it only coming on the list once it has been so-called classified by the Auditor General as being irregular or possibly wasteful expenditure, or is it also others that have been identified subsequently? I just want to get clarity on that as well. Thank you.
Okay. Tectura is in this list, Mr. Mare. Is in this list that is before us. And then the second question, you are asking whether this refers to all matters that were flagged by the AG. Yes. and two, the reports that the internal audit flagged them as well. So this list, you have the list that was submitted to us in November 2021. And the new list, obviously, will have additional matters that were not previously recorded because they are new. So that is how they keep the register. But I would ask Ebonzi to confirm that.
Chairperson, just one. I'll just try to track in the tracking document Tectura, but it doesn't pick up Tectura.
The amount is 11.6 million rand. Just go to amounts that are within that range, 6.8 million rand.
If you could just direct me to the specific one, I'll appreciate that.
No.
Okay. I'll check it myself.
Okay. Yes, if you think it is not in the document, but it's certainly in the main document, Mr. Marais.
I haven't seen the main document, but the ones that I'm just looking at. And then in that Tectura, have they also then given the case number of, because you remember that they reported that it was...
Mr. Marais, consult the document, it was sent to you. I can show you the date when it was sent to you. I will ask the colleagues to resend it to you.
Thank you very much. And the case number as well. And the case number that of where they've reported it to the police. They've reported that it was reported to the police. Thank you.
Yes, where the matter has been reported, the case numbers will be there, Mr. Marais. Right. Can we just confirm if these are all the matters that the AG raised, including the ones that were raised by the internal audit, Mr. Abonzi or Dr. Kamende?
Yes, Chair, you are right. The list includes all the matters raised by the AG and the investigations done by the Internal Audit Division. Chair, you are also right in terms of we did exclude some of the items. If we did include all the incidences of irregular expenditure, we would have ended up on more than 600 cases. So for presentation purposes, hence my second slide deals with the percentage coverage, which is about 98% of the coverage of all the irregularities and fruitless expenditure that we've covered in our presentation, to show you where we are in terms of the specific items that we are presenting to you. With regard to the differences between November last year and October this year, some of the cases were new due to what the AG picked up in their audit in 2021-2022, hence there will not be any reference to it in November 2021. And then when the internal audit did their investigation, their completeness audit, they also picked up issues around March of this year, which relates to the period after May 2021. Hence there was differences between the two. We've also noted in your analysis document from the researchers with regard to the difference in figures between November last year and October this year. It will also be because of additional irregularities that were picked up on those specific contracts that were paid subsequent to the November year. Hence the discrepancies, all the differences in the two figures that were stated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bonzi. I think that clarifies matters even further. So we'll leave it at that, as because the decision was that we will not entertain the matter in the absence of the accounting office.
Chair?
Yes, sir?
No, sir, thanks, Chair. I'm supporting the postponement of the meeting, but I think it will only be fair that we express our expectation in the next meeting in terms of who should be in the meeting, so that come on the date when they are supposed to be in the meeting, there are no excuses. So I think it's important that we make that expression to say all accounting officers, if we want the sector to be in the meeting, the chief of the South African National Defence Force, as well as the chief of Arms of Services,
whom the regular expenditures fall within their domain, they should be able to be in the meeting and be able to come and share with us or respond to some of the questions that might arise in that regard. So it's very important so that at a later stage, Chair, they have other commitment because they were not called on time. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. So that's the proposal is the accounting officer, is the chief of the defense force, and the various and the chiefs of the various services and divisions. Of course, with the support team, the HR, whatever support team, the finance, and so on. Including the acting CFO. All right. So when do we need this meeting? Because we are postponing, so we must not push it too far. Otherwise,
as soon as possible. As soon as possible, please. As soon as possible. This is critical. This will have a major effect on the audits and the audit outcomes. And you know what should happen in terms of discipline and consequence management.
Okay, colleagues. No, thank you very much. DM, your last word. Maybe before the DM, Dr. Kamete, your last word. Bonzi, your last word before we go to DM closing the matter.
Thank you, Chair. I have noted the concerns of the committee, Chair, and I will discuss this matter with the accounting officer. And I've noted the people who are required at the next meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Deposit?
Nothing further from me, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. DM, I know you, I'm sorry, I'm seeing your message now, but your last concluding word before you can then leave the platform.
Honorable Chair, once again, thank you very much. I really, from my side, have nothing to say at this point, but to note the comments of the committee members with respect to expectations at our next meeting to deal with the matters that are standing over in today's from today's agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, colleagues. So the DM and the DM, the team is going to leave as we transition to the next item. Thank you very much, colleagues.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you take the next item?
Members. This is the proposal for our oversight visit to Bloemfontein in the Free State from the 22nd to 25th of November. Chair, we propose that we travel late afternoon to Bloemfontein, and then on the 23rd, the Wednesday, we'll have a visit to the Air Force Base at Bloemfontein. And they will then brief us on the mandate, the history, successes and challenges. We'll have a tour of the facilities from 10 o'clock to 12:30. We will then have lunch
and after that chair we'll have to drive to the hotel because members will have to join the hybrid penalty system session from the hotel. And day two, Chair, what we propose, again, we only have the morning session available, that we then go and visit the offices of the Provincial Department of Military Veterans, and there we expect them also to present on the mandate, the capacitation successes and the challenges. And given that the Office of the Premier has in the past been very involved with military veterans issues, specifically with regards to housing, we think it may be a good idea to invite the Office of the Premier, representatives of them, to then also join us. After that, we'll also sort of do a site visit to some of the houses that have been completed so that we can have a good idea as to what's going on there. Okay, then we will have lunch and we will then depart for the hotel where members can then join the hybrid penalty session at the hotel. And then on day three, what we suggested, as is the Friday, we have the whole day. So that in the morning, we go to three military hospital and we ask them also there to just brief us on their mandate, the refurbishment project, the successes and challenges. We then have a site visit to the facilities, we'll have lunch, and after that, Chair, we'll depart for the Tempe military base, and we suggest there that then we visit the School of Armor, and well, also the 1S tank regiment, and they should also then just brief us on their mandate, achievement, and challenges, and then we'll conclude with a tour of the facilities. Thank you, Chair. That would be then the end of the visit.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Thank you very much for this preliminary work. Colleagues, over to you, Mr. Maren.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the incredible work that Peter and the team has done. It's always much, much appreciated. You remember, I've just one question and maybe a request. You recall that I've mentioned in the past that the Brug is quite a strategic facility for the Defence Force because many of the deployments into Mozambique and even further on to the DRC often gets sent off from the Brug. So they get accumulated there and even the transport aircraft will from Bloemfontein. So in other words, whether it's equipment, whether it is vehicles, whether it is soldiers, will be done from the Brug. And we also know that at the Brug, there are lots of warehouses with prime mission equipment, spare parts, things like that, with munitions that are required in those operations. And we also know that that is where some of the very few, there's about 5-6 environmentally controlled warehouses in South Africa. And I think the Brug and Balmansdal is two of the biggest ones. And a request of mine would be, given that we have got challenges there, whether we can include that. If not, then it is one of those things, then I don't want to arrange an oversight only for myself to go and do that. I would very much like the committee to be involved in that. Thank you very much.
Do you know the Brug? Can you spell it for me, Mr. Mare?
You spell it G-E-B-R-U-G. Separate. I'm going to send you.
Sorry, can you spell the Brug, please?
D E. Separate word. B R. U. B E. B for Bravo.
Okay.
Brug, like bridge, but it's Afrikaans. So it's actually the bridge, but it's in the name is the Brug.
Okay. All right. Colleagues. and is not very far within the same percentage.
There is also, as Mr. Maria said, the e-mobilization center, 40 Department of Defense, also training center where they roll out with tanks and practice and so on. The Brug is around 30 kilometers from the CBD, because I suggest we'll be, or I suspect we'll be staying in the hotel in the CBD. So it's around 30 kilometers from the CBD to the Brug.
Don't worry, I'll show you, Chairperson. All right. And so can we incorporate it? The meeting with the Premier's office, we may as well dispense with that one, and then focus on the houses that go to the site visit where the houses are. So I'm not aware if there is any contribution by the Premier's office, that information will come up from the briefing with the offices of the DMV in the region. So it means that can we incorporate the breath there and then take the briefing and then revisit the sites.
Chair, I've sent you a pin drop on your WhatsApp. You see exactly where the breath is.
Okay, so we're removing the office of the Premier. Their contribution will come out in the presentation. Even if it doesn't, we'll ask the questions and get the responses. And all right. So that's an amendment. Any other amendment, colleagues, you want to effect to the program?
Okay, person, not to the program, but maybe I can just request. I've seen that the person who has liaised with me for transport purposes has said that we will fly out on Saturday morning. However, I see that for instance to Cape Town, there are flights on the Friday evening, and then only on basically Saturday after lunch. So I mean, you know, I'm prepared to fly out on the Friday evening, so that we don't have to have another night, you know, a room for me. In fact, I will prefer that, because the Saturday again is other issues that we have to attend to. So, but that's just a practical thing. But I have communicated that to the person.
That is fine. That is noted. Colleagues, are we done with this? I think we are.
Excellent. I propose.
No objection. Can we move to the next item? Thank you very much.
Are the minutes visible, Chair?
The minutes are visible. Colleagues, this is the... How many sets, Brian?
We have 5 sets, Chair.
Okay, so this is the first set, 28th September. Briefing by AG on agencies that report to the two departments and the agencies that report to the department, and we did the minutes. This was the attendance list. Colleagues, do you accept the minutes as the true reflection? transpired in the last in the meeting of in September.
I so propose.
So proposed by Mr. Mare.
I second, Chair.
Seconded by Alice Lintembo. The minutes are adopted. Can we move to the second slot? Minutes of 12 October 2022. So those were matters and consideration. So this is the attendance register. Continue. Any correction, colleagues? We're looking for corrections.
Table.
Ms. Kimball seconded. let's go to the last conference note. Yes, thank you so much.
I propose for acceptance.
You are muted, Chair.
No, the 22 pages, eh?
Oh, that's correct.
Seconded by? Seconded, Chair.
Seconded. Colleagues? Oh, wait. Colleagues, I think we have we not come to the end, Mr. Chabu? Sorry, Mr. Mai?
Yes, we have, sir.
Ryan Manchi? Yes. Thank you very much. And colleagues, I think we can then move. I should thank you for your effort and the contribution until we meet again. Some of us will be meeting tomorrow. In fact, all of us will be in tomorrow's meeting. Thank you so much. The meeting starts at 7.